You know what devotional message, the difference between a devotional message and a message is, don't you? The length. No, I want us to look at a very important text. Go ahead. If you have a Bible with you or you can find one in the pew, turn to John chapter 13. We'll be looking at that text this evening just for a few moments to kind of get our hearts and minds centered. I don't know, I've got something in the back of my throat there. No, I haven't had the bread, so that's not what it is. I'm not sure what's hanging around back there. But as Jesus is sharing this time with the disciples, very important time, this is just prior to what he's about to endure in John chapter 13. You can follow along with me in your copy of God's Word. Go ahead and remain seated. It says, now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come and that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During the supper, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God, was going back to God, got up from the supper, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. And he poured water into the basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel in which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him and said to him, what I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand later. Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part of me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew that one who betrayed was betraying him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and inclined at the table, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then the Lord and teacher washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I give you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, the slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen. But it is that the scripture may be fulfilled, that he who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. From now on, I am telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. As Jesus is gathered with the disciples, I want us just to think about a few things and just imagine that image as he brings them together for that final time together where they'll observe the Passover meal before he is taken away, betrayed, tried, and crucified, and they'll gather and share. But there's some interesting things that take place, and this is where we see Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And many of us know a little bit about what that means in that culture. To wash another person's feet was an act that was really reserved pretty much for the servants in a household, and it was usually the servant that was at the lower end of the pecking order, if you understand what I mean by that. It was the lowest of the low that would do that, and only that person. And yet Jesus chooses to give them an example of how they are to love and serve one another. And that's a real important thing for us to remember as followers of Christ. Okay, is that we serve one another as well as our Savior. And by serving one another, we demonstrate our love for our Savior. And Jesus wanted us to a very concrete example for the disciples that he gives us today when he washed their feet. And you hear the encounter that he has with Peter, who gets a little confused. Peter always gets a little confused, and that's why I like Peter, because he's a lot like me. I get a little confused sometimes too. And he gets all worried about, oh, Lord, you know, don't wash my feet, because it is a degrading thing. You shouldn't be washing my feet. You know, and he tries to, Jesus says, no, you don't understand this. You will later. And then says, well, don't just wash my feet. Basically, ask for a bath, which I thought that was kind of weird. But that's what you read it, didn't he? Wash all of me. But he said, no, that's not what's needed. And he's reminding them that often it was customary when you entered a person's home, there would be a basin and a towel there for you. And if the person was not wealthy enough to have servants, then you could wash your feet as you entered. Because often in those days, they did not have nice tennis shoes and shoes like I'm wearing with closed toes or cowboy boots or whatever it is that you wear. All they had were sandals, if they had that at all. And so their feet were often rather dirty. Anybody notice how when you wear sandals in certain times of the year, your feet get a little bit, I think the word we use is gross. Well, that's what would happen to them. Imagine walking around in a sweat and hot and sweaty Palestine, just walking around. And so that was a custom that they would do, but it was an honor for the guests to do. It was not an honor, but it was something for them as an act of service. But when they had a servant, that servant did that. That was kind of not the most honorable thing to do. And Jesus is taking that role as a servant for his disciples. He is serving them in one of the most menial tasks they can imagine, to remind them of how much he loves them. Also, but importantly, he says to remind them of how they are to treat one another. You see, we're, as a body of believers, we're connected through Christ. And we are family, the family of God. And our love for our Savior is best demonstrated, I think, as the Scripture teaches us, by the way that we love and treat one another. Because we're family. It kind of works that way in your earthly family, doesn't it? You like being with them, and many of you will have opportunities over this holiday to spend some time, hopefully, with some of your family members and share a meal together, just share some time, see some children, grandchildren, or whomever you get to see, and you'll be excited about that. That's an enjoyable time of celebration. But there's a connectedness to your family as well. You're connected to your family by blood, aren't you? You're related. We are connected to one another also by blood. It's not the blood that flows through our veins, but the blood that flowed from our Savior's veins that connects us and draws us to one another. And we'll take a few moments here in a little different way than we usually do it in our church to celebrate the Lord's Supper, or you'll come to the table in groups of preferably no more than seven, because that's all the chairs I've got set up. And we're going to partake, and you're also going to use a little bit different bread than we usually use, and you're going to get to break the bread. That's what they did at the Lord's Supper, at the Last Supper when they were together. That's what he did with them, was he broke the bread with, let them break the bread, and they shared it as a symbol of what took place. And all of this is to point us to what our Savior did for us, to point us to what takes place at Calvary. Because that is what changes us. That is what brings us hope. That is what brings us here together tonight, and every Sunday for that matter, is the sacrifice that our Savior has shown us, makes us worthy of what he has done for us. See, the only reason that any of us will be able to stand in the presence of God one day is not because we came to South End Baptist Church and heard Mike preach boring sermons. It's not because we endured or did these things or our names on a church roll. It's not because we've been dunked in a baptistry. It is all because of what Jesus Christ did for us on a cross on a hill called Golgotha in Palestine many years ago, when he made a way for us to come and be a part of his family. And that incredible sacrifice that transcends time and is to for all of us is an amazing gift that God gives to draw us into his family. Because there's just something about belonging, isn't there? Have you ever been somewhere where you didn't feel like you belonged? A few years ago, yes, I'm going to tell a story because that's what preachers do. I was invited to go to a family gathering with a friend of mine, and I went. I was at a church where I was interim pastor, and they were having a little get-together, and they wanted me to stay, and it was kind of a family thing, and it wasn't the church, it was just their family, and it wasn't, you know, I didn't feel like I belonged. Does that make sense? I kind of felt out of place because I wasn't a part of their family. It wasn't because they weren't gracious, it wasn't because they weren't hospitable, it had nothing to do with that. It was a sense that I was not really a part of that gathering because I wasn't connected to them, because I was not family. That should never be the case in the body of Christ. We are connected. We are family. We are bound together by a bond that is far stronger even than the bond that we have to our earthly family, because it is the bond that comes from the blood of our Savior that makes us children of God and grafts us together. And because of that, we're all family, part of the family of God, and we will celebrate this time together here in just a few moments as a reminder of what our Savior has done for us, but also as a reminder of our connection to one another. And what Jesus shared with the disciples, the reminder that the truth that he wanted them to get out of everything that he did in that moment, and probably I think the bulk of his ministry, was that they would learn to serve and love one another. Because as they served and loved one another, it demonstrated his love for them. And think about the witness and the testimony that had to those outside of the fellowship. As we demonstrate love, grace, and compassion towards one another, those outside of this church family can see the love of Christ at work in us. And I can't think of a better picture and a more clear expression of God's love in what we celebrate tonight and what the resurrection means to us as well, that we will celebrate on Sunday, that we are now His forever.